Hi, you're listening to the Prophetic Pulse Podcast, a ministry of the Life Church Network. This podcast is designed to keep you informed on current events, to help you understand the prophetic heartbeat of the Holy Spirit and how it relates to your life today. Here, you will receive fresh insight and biblical revelation to inspire and empower your walk with Christ. Now, here are your hosts, Pastors Randy Rice and Curtis Hill.
Hello, everybody. Welcome.
Hello.
Hopefully we don't have any problems this time. Facebook, Zuckerberg's after us because he knows we're preaching the good news.
Oh my, can you see me?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Oh. We got you.
Yeah, give me a thumbs up. Or
praise the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. Breakthrough. Hallelujah.
So for everybody watching, if you didn't know, today is Pastor Randy's birthday.
Yeah.
He's 53.
Well, not quite. I'm a little older than that. I'm 59.
All right.
I just can't believe it. One more year and I'm out of the 50s. Can you believe that? I mean, that's unbelievable. Curtis?
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, it happens so quickly.
And I'm at my son's house. I don't have my balloons behind me like you do. I love those balloons. And we're watching and just enjoying little Eva Marie, our brand new grandbaby. So it's been a great Christmas. It's been a great birthday. Of course, my wife fixed me my favorite meal. And, you know, it's just been a good day. It's just been a good day. I'm so glad that you are with us. And all of you that are joining us are going to watch us here at some point in the future. Thank you for joining us to celebrate Jesus, but also for the Prophetic Pulse update. We just have a lot going on. God's doing amazing things. And Curtis and I have been talking about it. We're very excited about what God's doing. But tonight we have just a very, very special guest, one of our contributors, co-authors of the book Celebrate, the 21-day devotional that many of you are already enjoying. You can go online, Amazon, get it right away. It's got meaty teaching from all of our staff. And Tara Hill, Curtis Hill, his wife, most of you know, she's our worship leader. She is a great mom. She's a great wife. And she's a songwriter. Now she's an author. And she actually has her degree, master's degree in music composition, I believe, and just an incredibly talented young lady. And I've known Tara since, I guess, she was 13. So I'm really excited that she's here. And we're going to be talking about her chapters in this wonderful book and devotional Celebrate. So, Curtis, I don't know if you had anything to kind of to get us going, but she is there with you, and we're going to slip her in when the time is right. But am I missing anything, or do you have? And then you're going to come back at the end. We're going to talk a little bit about some things going on January the 6th tomorrow. That's big, and we're going to pray and appeal to heaven and believe God for some great things. Also today, the vote in Georgia. Tremendous things happening there. I believe God is moving. But yeah, anything you got in your heart to share?
Well, the only thing I really had was, you know, since we're on a fast, I assume no one made you a cake for your birthday. So instead of, you know, Tara makes cake. So instead of her making a cake for you, we just got you this picture. So. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to me.
And when? No,
well, you know, the last 2 years, I mean, I've not had really a birthday because we've fasted and we've gone after God. And of course, you know, I'm still going after God. But this year I thought, you know what, Lord, you have grace. And so, you know, I like I said, my wife fixed my favorite meal and I'm about ready to get a dessert right after this.
All right.
And, I mean, this time last year, I was in a fast, 21-day fast, and we've done it for 2 years, and we have done it before that. But no, the Lord has spoken to me about that what he is going to do some things that this fast is working with, and people are fasting all over the nation. And so keep fasting, keep praying, keep believing God, because good things are happening. God is moving. Praise God.
All right.
Thank you for that little birthday gift.
I'll hang it on your door. So when you get your office,
I'll blow those candles out too.
You're going to have to blow pretty hard. I don't know if it'll go out, but I just want to remind everyone, we are uploading all of these onto YouTube. So if you ever miss one, you can always go to YouTube. We need you to subscribe so you are notified whenever we upload a new video. And we're really trying to build our following on YouTube. We've got, I think, over 1,700 people following the Life Church Westchester Facebook page, and we only have about 170 on the YouTube. So we're trying to get everyone else to get over there so we can start doing our live streams on YouTube. But we have to have a certain amount of subscribers first. So I just want to remind everyone, get to YouTube, subscribe. We got a lot of things planned for that. I mean, this is a direction that just we feel like the Lord is telling us to go in, is build a following, build a following. Get these prophetic words out to people. Get the gospel out to people, because that's what it's all about. I mean, I don't have to fly to another nation anymore to get the gospel to them because of the internet. If we can do it from where we're at and expand our tent pegs, Shundai Holy Ghost, via the internet and via YouTube.
It really is a mandate. It's a mandate upon us because of the harvest. The Lord is pouring out his spirit. We know that. He tells us that he's pouring out his spirit upon all flesh, and people need to hear the gospel. They need to see real people talk about real issues and share the good news and how they keep their joy through great struggles in life. And so God has spoken to us about expanding our reach through internet and around the world. People are looking for pastors. They're looking for connection in our community as well as in this nation and around the world. So we're doing that, and we're climbing that mountain, Curtis. We're going to climb that mountain, and God's going to give us a harvest. He's already giving us so many, many new people to minister to, and they're texting me and they're messaging me, and they're just loving what God is saying through us. And so we're going to keep it up. And those of you who are part of our Life Church network, part of our Life Church fellowship, we love you. We're so glad that you're a part of all of this. We're planting a brand new church in Middletown, close to Dayton. We're looking at some other things, Life Church overseas. You know, I can't quite yet share, but Mission Sunday's coming up. So we've got so many awesome things. God is working through us, and you are all a big, big part of that. So thank you for prayers, generosity, encouraging words. I haven't even had time to look at all the happy birthday wishes. You know, it's just been a great day. Birthdays are so great. You just don't like getting older, but you get wiser.
Yep. All right. Well,
I think
with that, I'm going to go ahead and swap places with my beautiful wife so that everybody, because, you know, everyone's sick of seeing our face. So we got to have a nice, pretty face.
Well,
a feminine face.
Come on in here, Tara.
All right.
Come on in, Tara. I love Miss Tara. She is like my daughter. And her dad is one of my very, very best friends, Dave Traxler. And I've known Tara. I've known you for many, many years. And you grew up in our youth group. You led worship in youth group. Then you went off to college. We thought, we'll never see Tara again. Only when she comes to visit. And then you went to Oral Roberts, right? And then you did your graduate study in Oklahoma, right?
Yes. Yeah, at the University of Oklahoma.
Yeah, and you studied music composition, and you are an accomplished published artist, and now you're an author, and a worship leader, a mom, a wife. So thank you for being here today, Tara. You're such a blessing to the house. I cannot tell people how much, if they're not in the house when you're leading worship, I know it comes over, you know, the live stream, but it's just something very special.
It's not quite the same.
Yeah. But you are a great blessing. And let's go back a little bit before we talk about these wonderful chapters and Celebrate. Hold up that book, Celebrate. Do you have it right there?
Yeah, right.
Hold that up. That is our 21-day devotional. And so you grew up here in Mason, right?
Yeah.
You went to Mason High School, and you got saved. Tell us a little bit about your salvation experience.
Yeah. So I grew up kind of in church. I went off and on to a Presbyterian church with my mom growing up. But my dad always went to a different church than my mom. They're still married, happily.
Quite a different church.
Right? Yeah, quite a different church. Quite a different church. So there was like dad's church and mom's church. And mom's church was always very traditional. And dad's church, when I was growing up, I remember dad's church was the fun church. Because there was lively music and people were dancing and there were flags. And I mean, he went to Montgomery Assembly of God for years and years. And so we would go there, I don't know, a couple times a year. And I would always see dad's church. It was really fun. I didn't know God could be fun like that, you know? And so after a while, and I started getting into middle school, high school, and I'm like, I kind of want to go to dad's church. I don't know. And so dad had found Life Church. He'd heard Pastor Randy Rice from Montgomery Assembly of God had planted a church in Westchester. And so he wanted to go visit, and he visited and started attending. And I came with him for the very first time in June of 2006. So there was a conference with Matt Sorger and Jamie Galloway at our church here over in this, in what is now the youth room. And I was 13 years old. And that was the first time I had heard people speak in tongues. Matt Sorger was like calling out words of knowledge and prophecy and stuff from the stage. And I had never experienced anything like that before. And I freaked out. I was very afraid. I was like, this is not normal. And I remember my brother went and like laid on his face at the front of the room. And I had never seen anybody do that before. And so it was just like a very scary experience for me. But my aunt was in town, my dad's sister, who some of you guys have probably met before. She's really awesome. She loves Jesus. She's crazy intercessor, prophetic, Holy Ghost warrior. We just love her to death. And she was there and took me out into the hallway. And I was like, this is really scary. I don't know why I'm here. Like, I do not like this. And she was just
how
like,
how old were you?
I was 13.
How old were you? Yeah, 13. Yeah.
And she just talked to me about it and was like, it's all God. It's all God. It's okay. I remember her telling me to like feel the peace of God's presence and not worry about like what was going on around me, but just worry about kind of like feeling that. And what she was teaching me was discernment, like feel the peace that this is a good thing, you know, even though it's scary. And that afternoon we were all in my dad's minivan and my aunt was sitting with me in the back and she was like, so talk to me, how are you doing? And I was like, oh, I'm still kind of dealing with, I'm a little freaked out. And she said, well, have you ever given your life to Jesus? And I was like, I guess not really. Like I grew up kind of churched, like I knew what it was all about, but I had never jumped in, you know, jumped in the deep end. And so she said, well, would you like to? And I said, okay. And in the back of my dad's minivan on June 24th, I gave my life to Jesus. And just about 4 or 5 months later, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues for the first time that following October.
And I haven't left. I mean, I left for a while, but I haven't left charismatic world. You know, I love the Holy Spirit. No. I love how he moves. I love being in relationship with God, for real, you know?
Amen. Amen. And it's, and you've come full circle, you know, here you're mom now and you're the pastor of the church and that you got one of the pastors, that you got saved in leading people into encounter with God. It's just amazing. It's amazing. Last Sunday, I was just watching you and Curtis leading the worship and feeling the glory in the house. It was amazing. Because I know the presence of God. I've walked in the presence of God for decades, and I recognize the presence, and it hurts me when I, you know, you don't feel the presence of God in the very place you need to or you should. And it has never failed that, you know, you in your worship, the Lord honors it. And I said to you when you first became our worship pastor, I said, you disarm principalities with your worship because your heart and your love for Jesus, and you disarm hard hearts. And I can't explain it. That's the only thing, that's what I heard, and that's what he does. So thank you, Tara, for just being who you are.
Well, thank you.
Just being real. It's just good. And everybody that knows you loves you. And they so appreciate your kind heart. And you're just so willing to step up, step in, and do things for God. And so thank you. But you have written some wonderful chapters in this wonderful new devotional, Celebrate. And let's talk about that word a little bit, because that's really what we're endeavoring to do. We're endeavoring to celebrate Jesus, even in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of political strife, in the midst of some people going through financial problems. We have people that are sick. You have somebody, I think, in your family, not immediately family, but somebody that passed away. And because of COVID and complications. But what does that word mean to you before we get into your chapters, that word celebrate in all of that and through all of that?
Yeah. So I think as a worshiper, to celebrate for me is to worship. And it's to worship exuberantly. And with anybody who goes to our church has heard me say this, to engage your body in worship to Jesus. Like, it's not a mental activity. It's not, you know, I'm just going to sit here quietly and like ponder and meditate. Like, although there is value in that, I think to really celebrate, I think to really celebrate is to engage your voice, engage your body in worshiping Jesus, and not only what he's done, but who he is. And that's something that I talked about in one of the chapters we're going to talk about tonight too. So.
Yes. Amen. And you know, it's what the first commandment is, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your body. And, you know, yeah, I mean, there's times where I just can talk to the Lord in my spirit and I can worship him without saying a word, of course. But, you know, there's times where you need to get up. Person needs to get up, shake off the dust, do something that irritates the devil. And just brings God praise. You know, we've been talking about spanking the devil. That's how you do it. You get up, you do something, you rebuke, you speak, and then you praise God. You give God praise. Yeah. So this celebrate teaching that really our church is walking through it. We've just come through a year of rest through pandemic and a soul rest, you know, resting your soul and your mind and believing God no matter what you face. And this is kind of a dovetail into that word. And you wrote a chapter, it's chapter two, on remembrance. And it's Luke, you share from Luke 17 about the lepers. Share that. Tell us what you were feeling when you were writing that.
Yeah. So today's day five. So hopefully you guys have read. This is day three, Remembrance. And it's a lot of us know the story of the 10 lepers, that they came to Jesus asking for their healing, and he healed them. He told them, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were healed. And of course, they're so excited, like they're healed. They just got their lives back. And only one comes back to Jesus and says, thank you, which just blows my mind. What is interesting to me in this story, and I talk about this in the chapter, so if you've read it, this is just a quick review, but the word that they used for the word cleansed, so as they went, they were cleansed, is a Greek word katharos, which is where we get the word catharsis. It means a physical healing. It is a physical word, and it's to be physically healed, but it also is like a cleaning word. It means to be clean, like if you're cleaning something. That's what that word means. But when the one leper comes back and says thank you to Jesus, and Jesus says, rise and go, your faith has made you well. The word well there is different. It's the word sozo, which a lot of us might know the word sozo, but if you don't, it means saved, healed, and delivered. It is complete salvation. And the word is actually translated as saved almost every other time it appears in the New Testament. So he says, rise and go, your faith has saved you. So he's not just physically healed, but he's now been emotionally and spiritually healed because he came back and said thank you, and he celebrated what Jesus had done. And I actually, it's funny, I wrote this chapter about that and just saying, see, we should celebrate because we get a part of healing that we wouldn't get if we didn't celebrate when we celebrate. But there was kind of a piece missing. I went back and read it several days after I wrote it, and I was like, God, what is that piece? Like, I understand that, you know, we get saved, we get healed, we get delivered, but why does that come from thankfulness? Like, what's the reason? And the Lord showed me it's because when we're thankful and we celebrate him, it shows that we're in relationship with him. And
that's it.
He gave me this analogy. So like, imagine if a complete and total stranger came to your front door and gave you a gift, like a sweater. I don't know, a sweater. You're like, wow, thanks. I really appreciate that. That's cool. Thanks for giving me this sweater, total stranger. And they leave and you never see them again, you know? And it's like, okay, cool. I mean, I got this sweater. I kind of like it. It's nice. I'll wear it. It doesn't really mean anything to me, but cool. Now, imagine if your best friend in the whole world came and knocked on your door and gave you a sweater. How do you respond? You're like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. Like, you thought of me. Like, that's so sweet. Every time I wear it, every time I put it on, I'm going to think of my friend. Every time I think about it, I'm going to feel loved that my friend came and gave me this gift. And then what happens when you see your friend again? You say, oh my gosh, I just want to thank you again for that sweater. It seriously meant so much to me that you thought of me. And it demonstrates that you're in relationship with that person, that you value what they give you, that you value them value that relationship. And so it's the same way with God. Like, if God's a total stranger to us and he gives us a gift, we're like, okay, thanks. Cool. I got healed. Like, how many people experience a healing and then never go through to salvation and experience, you know, what it is to actually be in relationship with God? I mean, think of all the masses of people that Jesus healed that go away and never experience his fullness. But when we can receive a gift from God and we can go back to him and say, thank you, and we can continue to celebrate who he is, even months and years later, continue to celebrate the gifts that he's given us, it shows this is relationship. This isn't just a one-time thing. This is a continual experience that I'm having with the Lord.
Amen. That is so good, Tara. I mean, when you look at that, you know, here's where people fail. I mean, God gives us everything, gives us the very breath that we breathe. If we think about it, everything, eyesight, hearing, a heartbeat, created us. And people are not taught to appreciate God because they think he's some mythical creature or something. But when you get saved, or when you recognize that you need Jesus and he comes into your life, he does teach you this very thing, that thankfulness and celebrating what he's done and telling others about what he's done. Yeah. He listens to that. I said something on Sunday morning that God is a God of conversation, which is relationship. We want to carry on a conversation with God all day long, like we would if somebody was with us all day long. And yeah, we take time to pray, but why not just carry on the conversation and walk with Jesus? You know, it's what it means to walk with Jesus. And he came, this leper, he comes all the way back. I don't know how far he walked. We don't know.
Yeah.
Could have been miles. And that's maybe why it might have been inconvenient for everybody, but he does come back, and he receives something, like you said, that the other 10 did not, because he came back, and again he was face to face with the Lord, and the Lord just shared with him what he wanted to do for him. And isn't that what Jesus does? He just shares with us what he wants to do for us.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that healing is meant to be a gateway. You know, the gifts that God gives are not the end in themselves ever. You know, we always seek the giver of the gift.
Yeah.
And
yes,
when we can receive the gift and be thankful, it is this like exchange of love. It's God has given me something in love, and I'm going to thank him back in love. And there's just this continual exchange, spirit to spirit. And that's what he wants with each of us.
Can you imagine? I mean, the leprosy, you couldn't see your family. You couldn't go in public. You had to stay in a leper colony. His whole life is transformed by this man that he just heard about. And now he's going back to share it all. It's an amazing story. My mind can just race. It can just run with that whole thought. But I love the word sozo. I love that word sozo, because it talks about the complete wholeness that God provides, body, soul, mind, and spirit.
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus gave him, just not healing in his body, but his whole being was now whole and saved. Yeah. Just and wonderful, that's what, wonderful. So there's so much in that chapter. Go ahead.
Oh, it's okay. I was just going to say just a final thought. That's what relationship with God accomplishes for us. So it's not actually although the act of thankfulness is powerful, that in itself doesn't accomplish the sozo wholeness. It's the relationship that is created that accomplishes the sozo wholeness for us. It's that relationship exchange with God that brings healing to us, body, mind, soul, and spirit, if we can continue to stay in that place.
Amen. And it takes, I mean, Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. See, when you're walking with Jesus, you know he holds tomorrow. So he calms the soul, the wholeness of the soul. There's very little worry or fretting. And if you do worry and fret a lot, you can really bring that way down when you walk in this rest, in this heart of celebration and thankfulness that you can begin to operate in. It takes some time to develop this discipline, this heart after God, but the Holy Spirit makes it much more easier than it ever could be on our own. You know, we couldn't do it on our own, right? What, oh my goodness.
What I encourage people to do is to like thank God. And this I get from Wendy Backlund in her book, Victorious Emotions. She says, you know, thank God for the good things that he's given you until you can feel the emotion of joy rise up within you. And some days that's going to be instant. And some days that's going to take, you know, 20 or 30 minutes, an hour of continuing to thank God, but doing it until you can feel the emotion. The emotion signals to us that our soul has come into agreement with our spirit in that
that's
place.
Good, Sarah.
So when your spirit is already joyful, but in order to get your soul joyful, you have to kind of bring it over there sometimes and force your soul to worship and be thankful. And when you can feel that emotion, I try to get to that point. I used to do it daily. I used to sit down and thank God every day until I could feel the emotion of joy. I don't do it as much as I should anymore. It's become a little more of a lifestyle, honestly. But if this is something that's new for you, and if Thanksgiving is new for you, and maybe you struggle with, you know, negativity and just having a hard time seeing good things, thank God until you can feel that emotion change and make a habit of it.
That's good.
It's renewing your mind.
Yes. Tara, I want you to pray for people. And those of you watching, those of the, that will watch later, I really want you to engage your heart as Tara prays. And then we're going to go on to our second chapter that she wrote, chapter 8, An Epic Journey. But I want you to pray, Tara, and just release some prayer and the blessing of God on people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you come into the room with every single person that's watching this video or that will watch this video, God, and just release your joy. God, bring to their remembrance the good things that you have done for them, the good things that they have in their lives, the things that you desire that they be thankful for. And Lord, just bring those things into their mind. Even right now, let them flash in their mind's eye. Let them see images. Let them see memories. Let them see anything, God, that would just cause that joy to rise up. And right now, Lord, just let them out of their mouths, thank you. Say, thank you, God, for my family.
Yes, God.
Thank you, Lord, for my job.
Thank you,
God, for where I live. Thank you, Lord, that you have walked with me every day of my life. Thank you, Lord, for a blue sky. Thank you, Lord, for weather that I like. It could be anything. Lord, just bring to their minds even the littlest bits of joy that you can use to create a well of joy in their hearts. And Lord, I just release the anointing right now for Thanksgiving and celebration and fresh joy over each of these precious people in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So receive that. Operate in that, everybody that's listening. I know it works. This is how, you know, we try to teach people to live for the Lord. And it's so easy when somebody is perfect, like he is, and loves you so much. It's not hard to love God. It's just that we get disappointed because we fail, or we have expectations that, you know, we shouldn't have. So anyway, Tara, you wrote a second chapter in this 21-day devotional, Celebrate. And people can get this beautiful book on Amazon. Last year, we gave hundreds of copies away as just an experiment. And people really enjoyed our You Shall Find Rest. And you can still get that on Amazon. But this, you can get this. Yeah, there it is. And that is a classic. You Shall Find Rest is a classic. But Celebrate is it's fast becoming, hearing people just share how much they're enjoying it. And now this is a chapter that if you've ordered your book, we got it out a little late, but many of you are already receiving them. This is chapter 8, and
we're not there
this
yet.
Is called, and you're not, you shouldn't be there, but people read it right through, and then they go back and they read it so many times. They did that with, I mean, our devotional last year, they had dog-eared. People had to buy new ones because they just destroyed them. People were saying, we want 365-day, Anyway, the devotional, but we're not that good. We're not there yet.
This was enough for us this time.
It was. So, and this is from Luke chapter 15, and it's about the lost sheep. And so you teach us from there about celebrating the hero's journey. Tell us about right. that. I mean, or whatever you had on your heart.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So this is kind of a weird way to spin this story. So this might be a stretch for some of you. I knew when I was writing it and I showed it to Curtis, I was like, let me know what you think about that one. Because this is just a revelation that God has given my heart years ago. But for some of us, it might be a little bit of a little bend. So just bear with me. And I'll try not to spoil it too much for those of you who haven't gotten there yet. But we know the story of the lost sheep. You know, the shepherd, the good shepherd, leaves the 99 to go after the one. And that's great. I get that. But the thing that I've always kind of struggled with, I'm like, God, why is this the case? Jesus says, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. I'm like, God, I don't really get that. I'm going to need you to talk to me about that one. And so God has kind of taken me on this journey of understanding that a little bit. And I kind of take our people on a journey with it as well. I'm someone that values security a lot. I value sameness and safety. I am not naturally much of a risk taker, and I'm fine with things just being happy just as they are. And God has more and more been showing me that it is not so in heaven. He celebrates the struggle. He celebrates the process. He celebrates when things are taken out of normalcy into something new and growing a new thing out of that, which to me is like terrifying. I'm like, well, God, why can't we just stay exactly as we are all the time? And God's always trying to grow something new, and growth comes with struggle and it comes with process. And just learning to celebrate that. So the way I kind of took that, I read a book years ago. Some of you may have heard of John Eldridge. He's an author who wrote Wild at Heart. That's the big one that he's known for. But he wrote a book called Epic. It's a really little book. It's like this big. And in it, he talks about this subject, and he really approaches the works of people like G.K. Chesterton and C.S. Lewis, and how they talk about God's love for like fairy tale and for story. And even as Jesus spoke in parables, like God has this value for the symbolic telling of truths about life and the kingdom. And that most of our favorite stories can be kind of framed in this way, this redemption narrative known in popular culture as the hero's journey. And there are some really, really famous examples I won't go into, but this idea of a hero is in a familiar place. Okay. And then he's plucked out of that place and put into a conflict. And he has to go on a journey where not only he transforms the world around him, but he experiences a personal transformation as well. And with the help of many counselors along the way, faces a big moment of decision, at which point redemption is reached. And if we take that story and kind of superimpose it onto the Bible, and we can see that God loves that process. God loves taking people through transformation. He loves giving us a moment of decision where we choose him. And he loves transforming our hearts in that moment. And I'm like, God, well, you're God. You can just like pick me up from here and put me there, and we don't have to go through all this stuff, you know? And God says, no, that's what I love. I love taking you through the process. I love the nearness that happens when we go through that process together. And as
that's good.
And as I've always just kind of put it, God likes it to be epic. I mean, he could have just had Jesus born, come down to earth, like as a full grown man and defeat the devil and take away the sins of the world like that. He could have done that, but he didn't. Mm-hmm. He sent a baby. And Jesus went through this process. Jesus went through a human's life and faced that moment of decision and came out victorious on the other side. And God, I can hear all of heaven just like explode with joy at that moment, because God loves that process and he loves watching us win in that way. So that's
wow.
It's a little bit of a different spin on the story of the lost sheep, but it's just what God has spoken to me.
The process, many people, they go back because it does get difficult, and they don't, many people I've watched over the years, pastored for decades, and I see people start off well and then they just stop and they say it's too hard. And what would you say to that person that maybe they're watching and they feel like giving up? You know, maybe their husband just walked out on them, or their wife, or you know, they've had some bad news at work, you know, and they're just ready to throw up their hands. And you know, what would you say, and how would you pray? I want you to pray for them, and because the process isn't easy. I can tell you, there were times when when I first started out in ministry, I wanted to just, no, I can't. I'm not going to be able to do this, Lord. I can't. But he was there. I mean, he was just there encouraging me. He is truly my encourager, always, always my encourager. So what would you say to the person, Tara, that's just really struggling right now to go through some hard time?
Yeah. Yeah. There have been so many times in my life, and I'm young, I've been through some things, but I know there are people who have been through a lot worse than I have. But I just know there are times in my life that I have felt the Holy Spirit speak to me kind of through this, not through this story specifically, but with this reference in mind of this like hero's narrative, where God says to me, like, you're in the middle of your movie. You're not at the end yet. Like, there is still so much to go, and there is such a victory on the other side. And I know that seems silly sometimes, like, I'm going to imagine that I'm the main character in a movie, and what my life looks like right now is what's happening in this movie. Like, I know that seems silly and that seems ridiculous to us, but we have to understand that, like, human beings, we create these stories because we've been given this idea of redemption from the heart of the Father. Like, it's not something that we just made up, that we're just like, oh, that's nice if there's redemption at the end of a movie. Like, no, that's from the Holy Spirit. He desires that for each and every person. He desires that for every relationship. So if you're in this dark place of like, I don't know if I can go on, know that God's plan for you is redemption. Like, his plan for you is wholeness. That is what he desires for each of us, because he wants each of us to go through our complete story. And you just might be right in the middle of it. And it's hard to see way on the other side what God is trying to do. But once you come out of it and you turn around and you look behind you, it's going to be like, wow, it all makes sense. I walked through that whole thing with God. God was with me every step of the way. Like, yeah, it hurt. And yeah, there were times that I wanted to give up and the struggle was real, but that's what made me into the person I am now. And I can look back and just see that time as a sweet time with God instead of all this pain, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and while in the process, Tara, when we gain those experiences, you know, experience brings hope. So if I've come through something like that, and maybe I didn't do everything just right, maybe I was a little grumpy, or maybe I was just way too sad and or depressed or whatever, but I got through it. God brought me through, and I look back and I think, man, I wish I would have done that better. Here's the key: is celebrate when you want to complain, worship God when you want to murmur, pray prayers and declare when you want to, when you want to, you know, talk negative. And I've learned that over the years, because immediately the Holy Spirit moves upon my words. It's like in the beginning, God spoke, and then the Holy Spirit moved. We're created in the image of God. We speak, and the Holy Spirit moves. Yeah. He moves. And so let me encourage people, say the right things and believe what you say pleases God, and you will feel, as you're walking through the process, you will feel the power of God. And you will walk through it quicker, more successfully, without complaining. And you won't be able to, you won't look back and say, you know what, I regret what I said to that person. I'm so sorry. Yeah. Or I was so frustrated, God. I did the wrong thing. I didn't believe you. I don't like to look back in my trials and see how, you know, how wimpy I was. But I'm learning. Oh, man. I'm growing. And here's a good scripture. I believe it's in Philippians. It says, he that has begun a good work in you,
that's right,
will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So, and his plans are for our future, our hope, and he's got blessings, not evil. So Tara, I want you to pray for people right now that are struggling, but they're going to make it. And we just impart to them, we're going to impart to you, those of you that are watching, a heart of joy and celebration. Mm-hmm. You are the hero in your story. You are the hero.
Right.
And God wants to use you. He wants you reaching people. He wants you on top, and he wants you the head, not the tail. And celebration helps you to see clearer. It takes you up so that you can see the problems, and you're able to move it with power and wisdom in the things that need to be taken care of. So pray, Tara.
Yeah. Before I pray, I want to share one more quick thing.
Yes.
It kind of ties both of these together, like this idea of remembrance, the things that God has already brought us through, and then this journey of the process where we are now. So I went through a really dark time about 3 years ago. I had a nervous breakdown. I didn't know that's what it was. I just knew that I lost my mind and I was suicidal and I just hated God. I was about to like walk away from my entire life, and God brought me through a process of healing. And it took months and months, and it was very long, and I did not like it. Like, I'm looking back, I look back on it and I'm like, that was not fun. I did not enjoy that. But when I look back on it now, all I see is God's hand. I'm like, I don't even know how God brought me out of that. I can't even like put words to how he delivered me, other than just by relationship with him, just me continuing to pursue him and continuing to try even when I didn't want to. And now, you know, 3 years later, that is so far from me. But when I experience things that are difficult, I look back on that because I know I didn't do anything. And that, I think, is the greatest source of hope to me, is like, it's not about what we can do for God. It's not about how we can help our problems get better. You know, it's not about how we can further our process along. It's, we just have to make that decision. All we're doing is making a decision, and our decision has to be Jesus. And if your decision is to continue to pursue Jesus, despite everything that's happening, then he will bring you out of that by his power. And so I can look back and see that, and it gives me faith for the things I face now. You know, it gives me hope for the things I face now. And I hope it can give some of you hope that, you know, there's nothing too big, and there's nothing too small. And there's nothing too deep and dark that God can't supernaturally bring you out of. I know that sound, it, people can say that and it just sounds like words. For me, it's not words. Mm-mm. Like it Mm-mm. has happened in my life. So yeah, let me just pray for you guys. Yeah. And
oh, that's good, Tara. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm. So Father, I just thank you for the process. I know it's hard. I know sometimes we wish we weren't in it, but Lord, I celebrate the work that you're doing in our hearts while we are going through difficult seasons. I know there is no substitute for it. There is no like magic poof that makes us into human beings of character other than going through the processes of life with you. And so, Lord, I ask for that celebration perspective to just come upon every person watching this and everybody that will watch this, Lord, that just the scales would be removed from their eyes and they would be able to see what your hand is doing, even when it looks the darkest. They'd be able to see the redemption narrative that you are weaving with their lives, even now when it seems too dark, too bad for God to be involved. But God is involved and his hand is moving. And Lord, I thank you that you bring us those moments of decision so that we can continue to grow our character in you. And Lord, I ask that each person on this call just continues to pursue Jesus, continues to choose Jesus in those decisions. And I just, right now, I prophesy to you that you will continue to choose Jesus. Yes. You will continue to fight the good fight. You will continue to pray, believe, and celebrate, and you will not stop and you will not give up. And even though you're tired, you're going to keep going. I prophesy to you that you are going to see the dawn on the other side of this, that you are going to see the redemption. You're going to see God's beauty and his promise fulfilled. And I just speak encouragement to your heart and joy that you would celebrate even in this dark season, that God would give you reasons to celebrate, that he would show you how he's growing and molding your heart to be somebody who is just absolutely perfect in his sight.
Thank you, Father.
And Lord, we just thank you for it. Even when we don't understand, we thank you and we celebrate you. And we just give you all the glory because you are the greatest storyteller. You are the great author.
Yes, you are, Lord.
You create these beautiful, beautiful lives.
Thank you, God.
And we just give you all the glory. And we thank you that we get to be woven by your hand. We get to be clay in your hands, God. And we just release that control to you right now. We release that control and we receive in return, we receive your joy and we receive your peace that passes understanding.
Praise God.
In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, both of those chapters could be books in themselves, Tara, and you've just given us a little taste. And you know, maybe sometime very soon you could maybe preach on one or two of both of these subjects on a Sunday morning because they're so good and your teachings are so deep and wonderful. Everybody loves when you step away from the keyboard and leading the worship, even though we love that, and when you actually teach on Sunday morning. So thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. Thanks for having me. And thank you everybody for watching and commenting. Thank you. This was a lot of fun and I hope to be on again before the 21 days are over. I'll be back.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And we're going to have our other contributors on if they can. And, you know, we got Scott Chaka, we got Pastor Kathy, our administrative pastor, and our, junior high pastor, Eric and Vicky Hickman, Eric Hickman. And I know Eric Smith, he's a good friend of mine. But thank you, Tara. It's just so good to see you and so good to spend some time with you and just hear your heart on these. When I read those chapters, I thought, oh boy, those are really good. People are going to enjoy that.
Well, thanks. So, and I'm going to turn my seat over back to Curtis. So thank you, guys. All right.
Thank you. Wow, what a blessing. What a blessing. Hallelujah. And Curtis, I tell you, I know you were listening, and I know probably I heard bells going off in your head because you were probably getting revelation too. Any thoughts on some of the things, any words or words of knowledge even for people that are watching that you might have concerning the things that Tara was talking about?
You know, I'm not going to try to top my wife. She just kills it. She's just,
yeah.
She acts like she doesn't know what she's doing. And then she starts doing something and she does it better than everyone else. So
like baking cake.
Yeah. But like this cake.
Thank you, Tara. I'm expecting a real one.
She'll get you a real one.
I'm totally teasing.
But it was just good. Everything you guys said was great.
Amen.
I don't know if there really was anything else you can add to it.
It's just sweet, you know, when you think about how much the Lord just wants to be with us. I'm going back to that scripture in Malachi where it says that he listens to our conversations and he listens to what we're saying to one another and about him. And it's a Emmaus Road kind of thing. And he says, then I'll write their names in the book of remembrance. And it goes on. It's just powerful how God loves. And I'm going to preach on that very, very soon. I know it. I feel it bubbling up, you know, bubbling. But man, it really is about, he is a God of relationship, a God of conversation. And if I could just help people really get a hold of that, it's just not going to prayer only in your fasting and in your prayer time. It is walking with God, walking and talking.
Yeah, anytime you step outside of that mindset and that relationship part, where God is not expecting you to do anything for him. Like, he doesn't expect it like your employer expects you to do something for him, you know? Like, he just wants to be with you. And in return, we do things for him. We fall in love with him so much that we just get passion and fire inside of us. And then we go and do the will of our Father.
Yeah.
And anytime you step outside of that, what you start doing is you start trying to perform for other people. You start performing for yourself. You start coming up with all these different reasons why. And not that performance isn't bad. I mean, performing is great when you do it from the right heart, when you're doing it from relationship with God, not for relationship with God. But as soon as that one tiny little thing kind of gets out of alignment, it throws the entire thing off. And just like if you have, you know, one vertebrae that's out of alignment, it can affect your entire body. Sometimes you can't even get off the couch.
You're in pain.
And if just that one tiny thing is out of alignment, you'll start to recognize it in your own life. You'll start to wonder, why am I getting frustrated that I failed at this? You know, why am I, you know, beating myself up because I haven't accomplished more in life and all of this stuff. And then you have to trace it. Well, am I doing that because of my own insecurities? Am I trying to get other people? Am I trying to get their approval? Am I afraid of what they think of me? And, you know, but when you just bring it right back to the Lord, I mean, almost on a daily basis, I will have thoughts like that come into my head. And then I just start to picture, if the Lord was with me, how would he treat me? And I just see him just grabbing me and just hugging me and holding me and not expecting anything from me. Mm-hmm. And he's been there the entire time. Ever since the day you were born, he has been there doing that for us. And that's just something that, like Tara said, like, it's got to be a lifestyle you got to enter into. It's got to be so routine for you, just getting with Jesus and just letting him wrap his love around you.
Hallelujah.
And that becomes a lifestyle. All this other stuff falls off.
Yeah, it's so good, Curtis. And, you know, there's relationship and conversation, and then there's performance and religion, and there's no comparison. So, you know, now let's kind of conclude here, but I wanted us to appeal to the Lord. There's a lot of things happening in our nation that we've been trying to keep up with. And we don't, I mean, I don't want to, you know, continue just to crush that every night. And I'm glad that we had a good time just to talk about the book, but there's so much happening, so many critical things. It's a crisis in our nation, and people that don't recognize it, or Christians that don't want to see it, want to ignore it. I don't understand that. I think God loves nations, and he loves our nation, and he does not want our nation going down the path of socialism, which leads to atheism and dictatorial tyranny on people and oppression. That is not the kind of government God desires. And so I want us to pray, because tomorrow, we know, January the 6th begins the hearing in Congress on the electoral votes. And there are Republicans that are in the House and in the Senate that are going to reject them. And Mike Pence is the president of Congress, being the vice president. And he is over it, and he's going to hear it. And Ted Cruz is asking for a stay of 10 days to share all the evidence in these fraudulent elections. And it is overwhelming evidence, Curtis. And so when this begins to happen, I believe the handwriting on the wall is going to appear. People are going to see it, and they're going to see the evidence. I've seen it, and I've seen very little of it. But this is going to be a turning point in our nation, one way or the other. The handwriting on the wall is this: meeny, meeny, tickle you, Farson. You've been weighed in the balance. Let's just keep it there. And let's just hope that it's not found wanting. Let's hope that our leaders rise up with great courage, and you have the rest of it, and you have changed the destiny of your nation by rising up. And President Trump remains president, and we're able to crush this whole socialist agenda of the left. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I believe I know what God told us, and we're going to believe the prophets, right?
Well, we already have people in D.C. I mean, there's prayer rallies that have been going on all day long in D.C., and tomorrow there's supposed to, I saw a map of all of the different rallies that are going on, and pretty much all of them are prayer rallies. Like, that's what's so encouraging about this, is the people that are coming out and supporting are coming out in the name of God. I mean, this isn't just a political rally for so many different people. This is contending for our freedoms, for one, but it's also appealing to heaven. And so I just encourage everyone, you know, we have seen a year like any year I've ever seen when it comes to prayer in our nation. I've never seen this many groups getting together, huge groups with tens of thousands of people. And tomorrow, there's going to be over a million people there. And this many people coming together and praying, I know the Lord is so pleased, and he is going to move on those people's behalf. I mean, I just know God's heart. I know. I mean, in scripture, how many stories did God say, if you just find 10 people, just 10 people that love me? And they couldn't. But in our nation, I can look, I can find 10, I can find 20, I can find 100, 1,000, 1,000,000, 70 million maybe. And so the Lord is going to shake this. I mean, for me, it doesn't matter how these leaders, what decisions they make over the next 20 days. God is going to have his way, because his people have come out and said that we want America to be a nation for God again. That's my rant. Tara got to talk for a long time, and so I have to have my few minutes. But let's go ahead and just pray, and we'll close out. We're wearing people out. So yeah. Get your sleep so you can start praying throughout the day tomorrow. But Lord, we just bless tomorrow, January 6th. We bless Vice President Mike Pence, that God, you would just tonight, you would just spiritually just come and impart to him a boldness. I ask that he just has an encounter with you, Holy Spirit. And impart to him this boldness, impart to these senators this boldness from the Holy Spirit, that just an anointing and a mantle would rest on them to fight in this moment. Just like all of these political heroes, these heroes of freedom in the past that have had to make tough decisions and have had to oppose the majority in order to see freedoms in our nation. God, I ask that that would be one of those moments tomorrow and over the next 2 or 3 weeks, that people would just press in with boldness and with courage. And so we just bless our nation. We bless these prayer rallies. God, I ask for just a protection over this, the Washington, D.C. area. God, that people who are going there to cause violence, strife, and who are being driven by spirits of anger, God, I ask that you would open their eyes to the spiritual realm, that they would see how much angelic protection is going to be over Washington, D.C. tomorrow, that it would freak them out, that they would go run and hide, because they would know that this is not a fight that they want to get in. And so, Lord, we just declare that January 6th will be a violence-free day in our nation. That not one fight, that people would just stay home, that they would just feel so defeated, they don't even want to come out and cause any problems, God, that you would just move your mighty hand on that city tomorrow, that we would just see what a real peaceful protest looks like. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen, brother. Let me remind people, get the Celebrate devotional on Amazon. You can look it up. Also, You Shall Find Rest if you don't have that one. But most of all, read your Bibles. We're in John chapter 5 today, the 5th of January, my birthday. And I loved what I read today, the five pools of Bethesda. So interesting. And the number is the number 5 is the number of grace. And I feel like the Lord might want me to preach on that, on some things out of John chapter 5, but we'll see about this Sunday. But thank you, Curtis, for all that you do, brother, making these things awesome. And those of you watching, if you've never given your life to Jesus, let me pray with you right now. Father, if there's anyone watching now, anyone that will in the future, I pray, God, that doesn't know you, that I pray that they would right now pray this prayer. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I believe in you with all my heart. Come into my heart and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to live for you and love you like you deserve. And I will give you the praise and celebrate your name. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God, Curtis. I'm excited. We'll see you tomorrow, I guess we're going to be here. I talked with Abner Suarez. Hopefully he's going to be with us at some point. But I really enjoyed talking to Tara, and I like bringing our contributors. And we can talk about some of our chapters. You wrote the most chapters, so we probably want to do some of that as well. And but these 21 days already, we're only day 5 into it. And thank you all for fasting and praying and just believing God.
Yep. Well, we love you, everyone. And we just encourage you to just keep pressing into what the Lord is saying in this season, even though You know, there's a lot of interference in the spiritual realm right now. But if you just press through, press through into the third heaven, you'll get some good revelation from our friend Jesus. So, we bless
Hallelujah.
You. Love you. Y'all have a wonderful night. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you, Curtis. See you, buddy.